Let us pray. Gracious Father, once again we come before you, thanking you for being there. We thank you that you are the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beside you, there is none other. You are not merely an idea or an opinion. You really exist. You always have. You always will. You gave us your word, and we pray that you would bless us to hide it in our heart and give us an understanding that we may serve you acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Coming back to Colossians chapter 1, we're ready for verses 12 through 14. Now read those and then we'll come back and look at them. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Notice that Paul branches out and he includes himself and others in the prayer for the Colossians. Notice he says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Think of that, beloved, that's you. That's you. You have been made meet. You have been enabled to be a partaker of the saints in light. This word is used here and in 2 Corinthians 3:6, where there it is stated, Second Corinthians 3:6, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter but the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Paul said they've been made able ministers. Well, here, you, child of grace, you have been made meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This word that's translated meet is from a word that has the idea to be made competent. You're sufficient. You're worthy. God has made you that. You're not worthy in yourself. You're not sufficient in yourself. But in Christ, And by the way, we need to give thanks to God. When's the last time you thanked God for loving you before the world was? For electing you? For sending Christ to die for you? Just think about all of the joys and benefits of being saved. It's not because that you were better than anyone else. Like Israel of old, you were worse. You were a sinner. You were dead in trespasses and in sin. You didn't care for the things of God. You didn't care for God Himself. Some of you were raised in a Christian home, and you really cared. You didn't even care for that. You didn't thank God for it until afterward. And you wanted to rebel from it. You didn't want to have anything to do with it. But God called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, able, who has enabled us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Partakers, to share, to be a joint participant. I was trying to think of let's just put it this way. When your parents died, there was a will that was probated. And all of you siblings that were alive, you were partakers of the inheritance. You got your share, as it were. Whatever that was, however that was. Well, thank God that He's made you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Of saints who are enlightened. God has not left you in the dark. We say that God could have. Well, first of all, God can only do what He did, but humanly speaking, God might have given you an inheritance and never let you know about it. But aren't you glad that He didn't do that? Aren't you glad that He gave you an inheritance in the saints? You have a part in it. And I tell you, beloved, the inheritance of the saints in light is far better than any earthly inheritance. Far better than any earthly inheritance. You know, I grew up on a farm. And as a child, I never thought anything other than living in that area and living on that property. But here I am now, some hundreds of miles away from where I grew up, from the inheritance. The house is still standing. I can go to Google Earth and look at the house. Many of the outbuildings, such as the chicken house, the wash house. Yes, Dad built a separate house, a separate building from the house where my mother could go and have a concrete floor and wash her clothes, and had a fireplace in there where she could wash her clothes in the wintertime and be warm. And next door to it was the smokehouse where we smoked our meat. Then we had a tobacco house where we housed our tobacco, and we had a stock barn. All that's gone now. The people that bought it burned all those things down. And they gave us their word that they wouldn't. And so you see, these earthly inheritance, they're not here for a while, after a while. And even if they hadn't have burned them down, eventually they would rot down and fall down. But the inheritance of the saints in light is an eternal inheritance. It's an eternal inheritance. In fact, even though that we are partakers of that inheritance now, when we die, we're going to be a partaker of the inheritance a little bit better. You remember what Paul said, to depart and be with Christ is far better. And then when we are resurrected, it's going to get better. And then when this earth is destroyed, and the new heavens and the new earth will be given, and the tabernacle of God will come down out of heaven, and the holy city will dwell on the new earth, it'll be better. But then, we suppose it'll be the same in eternity. But who knows? It may be that eternity just gets better. You say, well, how can that be? Not that our bodies will be any better. But if, and I see no reason why we won't, but if we will continue to learn of God in eternity, is that not better? Is that not better? We'll never be God. We'll never know as much as God knows. Because if we did, we'd be God. So we will learn of Him forever. You say, well, how can that be? I don't know how it can be. I don't think we'll be stagnant. I don't think we'll just be at some created level, and we'll just be at that level in eternity without change. Eternal life is an ongoing process. Eternal life is knowing the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And even in eternity, it is a constant increase I believe. This is the inheritance that God has given us. Our inheritance is going to continually get better. Continually get better. I've heard you say at various times, the happiest day of your life was when you was baptized. And now I hear you say, the happiest day of the week is the Lord's Day. So you are constantly being happy. You're constantly increasing in this inheritance. Well, beloved, that's nothing compared to the glory world. And God has made you that. You didn't do anything to be made that. God has made us meet to be partakers. God elected us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God gave us to His Son. Jesus Christ came to die for those whom the Father had given Him. It is through the operation of the Holy Spirit that we are born again by the born again and made alive unto God. God made us. We're not a self-made man. God made us. Partakers of the saints in light. I hope you will forgive me. I've got a lengthy quote by John Gill. And I kept looking at this quote, saying, this is too long. But it was so good, I just didn't want to leave any of it out. He said, the heavenly glory, so-called, in allusion to the land of Canaan, which was divided by lot to the children of Israel according to the will and purpose of God, and because it is not acquired by the works of men, but is a pure free grace gift of God, and which He, as the Father of His people, has bequeathed unto them, and which they enjoy through death of the testator, Christ, and of the Spirit is the earnest, and of which the Spirit is the earnest. In other words, the Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. And because this glory is peculiar to such as are the children of God by adopting grace, it is no other than that inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and which fades not away, reserved in heaven. And designs that substance or those solid and substantial things they shall possess hereafter. That kingdom, salvation, and glory they are heirs of. And includes all things they shall inherit. And even God Himself, who is their portion, their inheritance, their exceeding great reward, and of whom they are said to be heirs. This is the inheritance of the saints and of none else, who are sanctified are set apart by God the Father in eternal election, who are sanctified by the blood, or whose sins are expiated by His atoning sacrifice, who are sanctified in Christ, or to whom He has made sanctification, and who are sanctified by the Spirit of Christ, or have the work of sanctification begun upon their souls by Him, in consequence of which they live soberly, righteously, and godly in the world. And this inheritance of theirs is in light. Unless this clause should be read in connection with the word saints and the descriptive of them, they being called and brought out of darkness into light and made light in the Lord, light being infused into them, in which light they see light, sin to be exceeding sinful and Christ to be exceeding precious. Or this phrase should be thought to design the means by which the Father makes meet to be partaker of the inheritance, namely in or by the light of the gospel, showing the way of salvation by Christ, and by the light of grace put into their hearts, and by following Christ, the light of the world, which is the way to the light of life. Though it rather seems to point out the situation and nature of the heavenly inheritance, where God dwells in light, inaccessible to mortal creatures, and whose light itself, or who is light itself, that is, God is light, and where Christ is, who is the light of the New Jerusalem, and where the light of endless joy and uninterrupted happiness, and where the saints are blessed with a clear, full, and beatific vision of God in Christ, and of Christ as He is, seeing Him not through a glass darkly, but face to face. This may be said in reference to a notion of the Jews that the light which God created on the first day is that goodness which He has laid up for them that fear Him, and is what He has treasured up for the righteous in the world to come. Now the saints' meekness for this is not of themselves. By nature they are very unfit for it, being deserving of the wrath of God and not of any of an inheritance, and are impure and unholy, and so not fit to partake of the inheritance of saints or holy ones, and much less to dwell and converse with an holy God. And being darkness itself cannot bear such light or have communion with it, but God the Father makes them meet, which includes all the acts of His grace towards them, upon them, and in them, such as His choosing them in Christ and their inheritance for them, and preparing that for them and them for that, blessing them with all grace and all spiritual blessings in Christ, putting them among the children by an act of adoption, of His own sovereign will and grace and free grace, whereby giving them a goodly inheritance and a little to it, justifying them by the righteousness of His Son, and so making them heirs according to the hope of eternal life, and forgiving all the trespasses for Christ's sake, cleansing them from all in His blood, so that being undefiled in the way, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, they are fit for the undefiled inheritance, regenerating them by His Spirit and implanting principles of light and life, grace and holiness in them, without which no man shall see the Lord or enter into the kingdom of heaven. And all such as the Father has thus called and made meet shall certainly be partakers of the inheritance. They partake of it already in Christ their head, and in faith and hope, having the Spirit as an earnest and pledge of it, and will wholly and perfectly enjoy it hereafter. For though like Canaan's land, it is disposed of by lot, by the will, counsel, and free grace of God, yet will it not be divided into parts as that was. But there is one undivided inheritance, one part and portion, which all the saints shall jointly and equally partake of, that is, being joint heirs with Christ, having all and each the same right and title, claim, and meetness, for which they have abundant reason to give thanks to the Father when they consider that they were beggars on the dunghill, and now advance to sit among princes and to inherit the throne of glory, were bankrupts over their heads in debt, owed 10,000 talents and had nothing to pay. And now all is frankly forgiven them, besides a title too, and meekness, for the heavenly inheritance are freely bestowed on them, and particularly when they consider they are no more worthy of his favor than others that have no share in it, and also how great the inheritance is. Like I said, that's quite lengthy, but I thought he gave a real full description of it from eternity to eternity and all in between. Yes, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? When's the last time you thank God for regeneration? Think of that. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. This word deliverance is the idea of drawing someone from a rushing current of water. Here you are in a rushing current of water, being carried down to hell. Going so fast, no one can catch up to you. Rushing so quickly and forcibly, no one can grab hold of you and hold on to you. Here you are, helpless, going to be drowned in the lake of fire, rushing headlong, and God delivers you. God delivers you. That's an apt description of us, is it not? Who hath delivered us from the power? This is not that word, dunamis, where dynamite comes from, but this is that word exousia, authority. He has delivered us from the authority of darkness. When Jesus said, "All power is given unto me both in heaven and earth," in Matthew 28, all authority. But God has delivered us from the authority of darkness. You know, darkness can be a terrifying experience. Have you ever been on a vacation and you went down into a cave and they turned the light out? Kind of a horrible feeling, is it not? You remember the darkness that was in Egypt? It said it was such darkness as was what? Felt. They felt. They could feel the darkness. That's kindly like the darkness that we were in. But you know what? When we were in that darkness, we didn't even feel it. We were so dark and so dead to the sensation of God's judgment that it didn't bother us. Look what's going on in our nation. People pushing people in front of trains, stabbing women and children to death, torturing people. I mean, you just name the wickedness that's going on. And there's no remorse. One of the most horrible things is that our nation has adopted where men and women can boil babies and pull them apart and murder them with no remorse or any justice for the murder that goes on. And even your so-called conservative politicians, they say we are against it after the first trimester. Well, what about before it? Either they're against it or for it. In other words, it's all right to murder up to a point, but after that, not. Though some of them say you baby can be born and still murder the baby. But that's where our nation is. And they revel in it. And beloved, we'd be just right there if it were not for God delivering us. You say, I'd never do that. You'd do anything if God didn't hold you from it. God has delivered us from the power, from the authority of darkness. He's delivered us. That's something to thank God about. That's no small matter. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Look at Luke 22. I want to look at this word darkness a little bit. Luke 22. Verse 53. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hand against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. You know the reason you're delivered from the power of darkness? Is because Christ suffered it for us. Acts 26. Break it into the context of what the Lord told Paul. Verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Now, God delivers us out of the power of darkness. But the gospel, after we have been delivered out of the power of darkness, the gospel turns us from the power of darkness unto God. Now, I don't have time to go through the whole theology of that. But beloved, aren't you glad that God has delivered you out of the power of darkness? Ephesians chapter 5. Taken up in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. That's what you were before God changed your heart. You were darkness. You not only were in darkness, you were darkness. For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. First Peter 2. We're only looking at a few places, because this word's used some 30-some times. 1 Peter 2, in verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Beloved, you who are born again, you who are children of God by light, you have been called out of darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've been called out of darkness. When you see the news and you see the stuff that's going on, let it remind you, without the grace of God, there go I. I've been delivered from that. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for delivering me from that. I'd be right there if it were not for you. Oh, what's going on is wicked, it's horrible, it's blasphemous, and all of that. But we can sit back and we can talk about how bad all of that is and think about, you know, I'm glad I'm not like that, and so on and so forth. We could be like the Pharisee. Lord, I thank you I'm not like this publican. But that publican said, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And it was the publican that went down to his house justified. It wasn't that Pharisee. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath called us out of darkness, out of the power, called us from the power of darkness. We've not only been delivered from the power of darkness, we can't abide, we can't live in darkness. And thanks be unto God for translating us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Well, I've got quite a bit to say about that. The kingdom of His Son, and so on. Lord willing, we'll take up there the next time. But I remind you again, I remind us again to be mindful to thank God for translating us out of the power of darkness, making us meet, fit to be partakers of the inheritance of light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we say these words. We believe the truths therein, and all so often our hearts are so unmoved. Oh, do not leave us to ourselves. Sanctify these truths unto us, that with the whole heart we might rejoice and honor and glorify you for what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.